Pod Moth.
Erica, there's a ghost behind you.
What?
Just kidding. It's just our podcast.
Welcome to Paranerds Podcast, where we are never, ever prepared.
Not once. Not once have we ever been prepared for anything.
No, no. The once we were, but it was a long time ago.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
I mean, I was kidding.
Oh, good.
But it's fine. Anyway, I'm Erica.
I'm Jesse.
And we're here with you for Season 2, Episode 2. Welcome back.
Deuces.
Yeah, what she said.
What I said.
Give me a story.
Yeah,
I'm in and I'm ready and I've had my decaf. Like, let's go.
I got my decaf. Bring it on. Have you ever heard of the Dyatlov Pass incident?
No, but I am assuming this has to do with a Yeti.
No, not at all. Well, maybe. No. I think that might be one theory. But the Dyatlov Pass incident is, it was an event in which 9 Russian hikers died in the northern Ural Mountains, which is, they run from north to south through western Russia. This was in February 1959, and it was really weird because when this group of hikers was found, it was like just super strange. They were all dead, for one.
Yeah, that's appropriate for the podcast. I got you.
Exactly. I heard about this forever ago, and I feel like it's a pretty common kind of like conspiracy story of like this weird thing that happened. The incident was named after the group's leader, Igor Dyatlov. During the night, something caused them to cut their way out of their tent and flee the campsite while inadequately dressed for the heavy snowfall and sub-zero temperatures. I don't have like the exact, I'm not going to go into the details of how all 9 people were found dead, but the weird thing about it, it looked like they set up camp in this one area, and then they were found, like, scattered. They were, like, run away, half naked. Some of them were, like, basically naked in, like, negative 20 degrees fucking mountain Russia. And they were all, like, experienced hikers. So it was, like, really freaky.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering how inadequately they were dressed. Like, did you mean that they were wearing, like,
they were, like, at least one of them was, like, in their, like, underwear. Like, they were, like, almost naked. Yeah.
That is way more than just unseasonably dressed.
Yeah. I can't even say that.
Inadequately.
That one.
Yeah.
That's an understatement, obviously.
Dude, like, you wouldn't even be prepared to go for a Wawa run wearing just your underwear.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were up in this mountain, like, super prepared. But when they were found, they were, like, they had cut their tent from the inside out. And they were found, like, yards away, almost naked, completely dead. So, obviously, that was really strange. And it's been this kind of, people have been theorizing about it for, obviously, since 1959 when it happened. An investigation by Soviet authorities determined that 6 had died from hypothermia, while the other 3 had been killed by physical trauma. Numerous theories have been put forward to account for the unexplained deaths, including animal attacks, hypothermia. What? That's redundant. Obviously, it was hypothermia. Avalanche, katabatic winds. Don't ask me what that is. Infrasound, induced panic, military involvement, or some combination of these. And yes, I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now. Apparently, a Yeti is some theory.
Told you, Yetis. But what would you say? What'd you say? It was the infrasound. What was that?
Infrasound induced panic.
So I imagine that's probably like a sound wave that you can't exactly hear, but the effect that it has on you is like total anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's terrifying.
It's a hypothesis. The infrasound hypothesis was popularized by Donnie Icar's 2013 book called Dead Mountain, which I think the mountain pass, it's called, it's a Russian name. I'm going to butcher it, but I'll try. It's Kolatsiyakai.
Mm-hmm.
Kolatsiyakai. And it mean, I think it means dead mountain. But it's this hypothesis that the wind going around the mountains creates some sort of vortex, which produces infrasound, which creates panic attacks. This is not science, so don't believe it. It's just like, it's a hypothesis that has not been proven.
I mean, I get that, and I've definitely had panic attacks before, but never has
from
there been a situation.
Sounds.
Yeah. I mean, no, never had. Actually, well, I mean, heights freak me out pretty bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, I never felt like I needed to, like, strip about it.
Yeah. Well, that was just one theory. There was a lot of theories for these strange deaths. The current event that I found is the answer to what happened at the Dyatlov Path incident.
Yes.
And do you
answers
know
for once
where the answer came from was the movie Frozen by Disney.
I thought you were going to say the movie Cold Mountain.
No, I've never seen that.
But okay.
No.
Thanks, Disney.
The absolute classic, fantastic movie, Frozen, which
I have never seen.
Love. You need to go watch Frozen. I've saw it. It came out when I was working at the movie theater, and I think I saw it like 20 times. Because
I believe that.
I could. It was great. And I had long blonde hair at the time, so I would like braid it to the side like Elsa, and little girls would come in to see Frozen, and they'd be like, look, mommy, it's Elsa.
That's cute.
I loved it. Yes, but the movie Frozen solved the Dyatlov Pass incident. Because
how?
I will tell you how. in 2019, a bunch of researchers that were like doing science on, you know, the climate in the area around that time, they basically came to the resolution that it was probably an avalanche and like the hikers cut their way out because of an avalanche. But a lot of people that hiked the area were saying, that's not true. There's no way an avalanche could have, like, would have fallen in the direction that made sense. So that's why that theory was never solidified. And there was so much, like, questioning about this, the Dyatlov Pass incident. But mm-hmm. the animation program used for the snowfall and ice and stuff in the movie Frozen, the researchers were able to use that software to prove that an avalanche could have happened in that exact way that they were saying.
No way.
Isn't that
really
wild? Yes.
I don't want to believe you. That's insane.
I'll read this to you. The avalanche theory has now been further supported with help from Disney's Frozen, courtesy of John Guam, head of the Swiss
sentence.
Federal Technical Institute, named the Snow Avalanche Simulation Laboratory. Guam was struck by how well the movement of snow was depicted in Frozen, so he decided to talk to the animators who worked on the Disney animated film for the code. As National Geographic reports, following a trip to Hollywood to meet with a specialist who worked on Frozen's snow effects, Guam modified the film's snow animation code for his avalanche simulation with a decidedly less entertaining purpose to simulate the impacts that avalanches would have on the human body. And using the Frozen animation codes, researchers were able to create a simulation of the Kolatsiyakai avalanche. Guam worked on the project with Alexander Puzrin, a geotechnical engineer, and it showed a block of snow on Kolatsiyakai that could handily break ribs and skulls of people in its path.
Dude.
Isn't that wild?
See, I keep saying Disney money can change the world.
It really can.
And that's exactly how Disney money can change the world.
I know.
They can completely turn around the way people feel about both Star Wars and the Marvel franchises and make them accessible to everyone.
Yep.
And now they're solving mysteries.
Really? Like, 60-year-old mystery? That's been like, I think there was a movie made about the Deal of Pass incident. That was, what was it? It was like some sort of, I saw
this. Was it
a
documentary or like a horror movie?
No, it was a horror movie. And okay. I think it was like some sort of animals in the movie that like killed them. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's called Devil's Pass. Yeah.
I did hear about that. I hadn't watched it, but I think it was one of those things where I clicked the thumbnail and I was like, that sounds dumb. Just didn't follow through.
I saw it a long time ago. I barely remember it, but.
But I really have no room to talk because I watched a movie on Hulu called Drive Thru the other night. That's about like a fast food mascot who's a clown named Horny the Clown. And he massacres everyone that comes into his Hella Burger.
Sounds fun.
So maybe I should have given Devil's Pass a chance. It was probably a better movie.
I don't remember a lot about it, but I remember it wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't awful.
But thank you. Disney magic.
Isn't that so interesting?
It is. And I feel like that's a really, like, nice and positive note to start this episode on, since my deep dive is gonna get kind of crazy.
Yay.
And a little sad.
Oh, not so yay.
Yeah. Are you ready?
I'm so fucking ready.
Cool. I remember how much you really enjoyed when we were talking about Eastern State Penitentiary in Philly. Mm-hmm. So I decided to look up a more local institution, shall we say.
Local?
Have you ever heard of Glendale Hospital in Bowie?
Oh, the one in
Maryland.
Bowie? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I had friends in college that like went and took pictures there and they got in trouble.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get in trouble, but I definitely knew people in like high school that used to go up there and try to spend the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to all of you listeners that are not from our area, Bowie, Maryland is round about the same area that the PG County Goatman roams.
It's like between Baltimore and D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a better description. I'm just doing a throwback to an earlier episode.
The Goatman's also there.
Yeah, but Glendale, I heard about it for years and I thought it would be cool to learn more history about it. All I ever knew was it's abandoned and it's probably haunted, so going there makes you look like a badass.
Yep.
Anything else you know about it before I get started?
No, I don't. There's ghosts. I think it's closed down to the public. Yeah, that's all I know.
Okay. Well, to set the scene, this place was built in the early 1930s in the height of the Great Depression. It was a tuberculosis hospital, built in 1934, closed in 1981, but it's still standing. And it was more, I would almost call it more of like a medical campus, because there were 23 buildings on 216 acres.
23 buildings?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. And as far as the buildings on, I'm just going to call it a campus because that makes sense in my head. But anything from like nurses' homes, so nurses would live in that area, to the main hospital buildings, to warehouses, heating and power plant, laundry, apartment buildings, and an incinerator.
Yeah, tuberculosis.
Yeah. And I don't know what you know about TB, but I first heard of it when I saw Moulin Rouge. And you cough up blood, and it is, like, pretty...
Wait, what?
Pretty nasty. Moulin Rouge is what Satine had. She had tuberculosis.
I thought she had syphilis.
Was I wrong?
I'm pretty sure she has syphilis.
Well, anyway, I always thought she had tuberculosis.
What's her name? Satine.
Yeah.
disease.
This is why we're called...
Consumption is syphilis. Oh. I used to call it consumption.
Okay, so anyway, my dumbass thought that she had tuberculosis, and that got me interested in learning more about the disease. But next, I wanted to talk about the rumors circulating this area. There is an incinerator on the grounds I just told you about. The rumor is that it was used for human remains.
Wait! You're right. I'm wrong. Consumption is tuberculosis. I always thought it was syphilis.
Yes! Yes!
You're right. Dang.
I thought you had me thinking that I done goofed.
I literally was just having an argument with my boyfriend about this because he was talking about Moulin Rouge and I was like, that movie's sad. Like, everyone's dying of syphilis in it. And I was telling him all this about syphilis. I'm like, the whole movie's about syphilis. I was so wrong. Oh, no.
I can't wait for you to tell him you were wrong. Can we have that as a bonus episode? Just you telling Danny that you were wrong about that movie?
Fuck. I don't want to admit that.
So the incinerator, not actually for human remains, even though that's a fun story. In reality, it was just for hospital waste.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. But I still like to believe that maybe they threw some bodies in there.
Yeah, it's... I feel like a... What do they burn? Like, tissues?
Well, hospital waste, I feel like sheets that have blood on them, maybe.
Or nah, like, they gotta wash those.
You know...
They're like a low-income hospital. They got bleach. You can bleach them. Bleach kills TB, right?
I don't know. Maybe you can go to the Clorox website and check that out. I didn't think to look that up. But another rumor that was going around about this place is the connection to Goatman. That I guess some people say that the Goatman also hangs around this abandoned hospital. Like, if that's the case, like, this dude is getting around all around the county. And I don't really know how he's doing it without access to a bike or something.
Demons can go very fast, I've heard.
Oh, well.
Like that one skinwalker I saw running in my front yard.
Can we not talk about that again?
Like, I don't think I ever mentioned it on the podcast.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, then go ahead and talk about it.
It's not much of a story. I was sitting...
It makes me scared,
It was really creepy when it happened. I mean, it could definitely have an easy explanation, but I was sitting at my desk, which is right up against a window, and my blinds, I usually keep them, like, almost all the way down, but I have about, like, 6 inches between, like, the top of my desk and the bottom of the blinds, and it faces my front yard, and I was just on my computer, boop-a-dooping one day, and then, like, I heard something... First, this happened in the span of like 3 seconds. I heard something running in like the grass in my yard, and I like glanced up for half a second, and I only caught a glimpse of a foot as it ran right by, like right in front of my window. It was like well into my front yard, and I only got a little tiny glimpse, but it was pink, and I saw like foot, like ankle, and like shin. So it didn't look like a shoe, like it was, or maybe it was like a tall pink boot. I don't know. But my first thought was like, that's a fucking skinwalker's foot. And it seemed like it was running very fast.
I hate that. Creepy. And since you told me that story, I've been feeling weird about spending the night at your house.
Really?
Yeah, because I sleep in the living room. I'm right there.
That was months ago, though. Nothing's weird has happened since.
Yeah, you're
and
saying that.
It very
that.
Well could have been, like, a child, and I just, because I only saw it for half a second. Like, I could have just seen it incorrectly.
No, you're just saying that because you want your friend to come over and play Portal with you.
Yeah, okay.
And spend the night in my pajamas, and, like, you're going to lure me in, and it's going to happen, and I'm going to be dead, and you won't have a co-host.
Skinwalker, but the thing is that's what I was thinking is because the skinwalkers, they target someone in theory, they target someone and they if they target you, they can run like in a direct line from like California to Maryland in a straight line. So I was like, all right, it's just a skinwalker who's whoever they was their target. That line went straight through my front yard and it's long gone by now.
All right. So rumor number three, the hospital converted into an insane asylum in the 70s with the patients murdering the entire staff and taking over the building.
What the fuck?
That did not happen. That's a rumor. Oh. that's a good story, though. And the last rumor is that there was a massive TB outbreak in the 60s that caused the staff to lock all the doors and leave the patients to die. No, that would be irresponsible as fuck. That did not happen. But to ground ourselves in reality, we can talk a little more about the history of the building. There's a local architectural legend. His name was Nathan C. Wyeth, and he designed many of the buildings in a mix of colonial revival and Georgian styles. He's the same guy that designed the Key Bridge in D.C. that connects Georgetown to Arlington.
Oh, okay.
The Oval Office and a number of other federal buildings in the area.
Oh, good for him. So, successful career.
Yeah, successful career and this scary abandoned hospital. In the early 1930s.
Hey, we have this job. Do you want to design this abandoned hospital?
No, that's true. I guess it was. Yeah. Do you want to design this place that no one's ever going to be in? I'm sure it was beautiful at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So in the early 30s, again, talking Great Depression, a tuberculosis epidemic swept through D.C. as hospitals in the city became overcrowded and overflow patients were sent to hospitals in Maryland and Virginia, too. Everybody knows DMV. Mm-hmm. We're all connected. It became clear that a dedicated facility was needed to handle this outbreak.
Not a lot of people know what DMV means. I think a lot of people think it stands for Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. So sorry, out of state folks. When we say DMV, we are generally referring to DC, Maryland, and Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before I go on talking about the reason this hospital is being built, researching this, I was thinking, we are currently living through a pandemic, and I'm kind of glad that we're not in a situation where there are hospitals popping up specifically for COVID-19, specifically to let people die out there.
Yeah.
Because that's a nightmare.
I guess how many people died from, like, the TB epidemic in the U.S.?
I don't have U.S. statistics, but I can tell you more about what happened locally. Yeah. Okay. So the dedicated facility that they needed ended up being Glendale. And to halt the spread of the disease was the idea. But hospitals within the district shuffled their patients. Oh, you found the numbers?
By the dawn of the 19th century, tuberculosis had killed 1 in 7 people on the planet.
Wow.
Okay.
Damn, so COVID's not even that.
Yeah, just a little intense context compared. Well, I mean, they did create hospitals in China for the pandemic.
Yeah.
For COVID. But yeah, perspective.
But yeah, this hospital was basically there for people to rest and then die.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, historically known as consumption. So, like we said, Moulin Rouge.
Not syphilis.
Or the White Plague. Had it been known by medical professionals since human antiquity, the question of how to treat it was largely based on guesswork. Moreover, due to its high rate of contagion, that also sounds familiar considering COVID, people diagnosed with TB were typically isolated or even shunned. Many were sent to live out the rest of their lives in rural sanatoriums. The patients' families would frequently tell their friends and neighbors that the infected relative had died rather than admit to people that there's a TB diagnosis in the family.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah, that reminds me of COVID a lot, too. A lot of people, they'll get diagnosed with it and they won't tell anyone because they want to live out their lives and not.
Oh, you mean like one? You mean like once they're recovered, they won't tell their friends that they had it?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn. That's kind of shitty.
That's so shitty. People are fucking shitty.
Yeah. As we've learned, people's rampant selfishness has come out quite a lot. But the preferred treatment for TB at the time consisted mainly of prolonged exposure to sunlight and fresh air, which, I mean, that's kind of nice. Like, if you're,
yeah, I bet
you definitely have this diagnosis, like, at least you're in a place where they're trying to make sure you get some good old vitamin D.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And some time with the trees.
If you're sick, it's like, you'll definitely be able to fight it. I mean, you won't be able to win the fight if it's something like TB. It's like, but you'll be, your body will be able to fight it better if you, like, feel good and have the sun and aren't, like, locked up in a tiny little room. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, that being the case, Glendale was on that huge 216 acres. Mm-hmm. They made sure there were huge, open, expansive lawns. They even had rooftop gardens installed and tended to by the patients, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's very nice.
So, yes, like while you're there, I guess if you're not feeling so sick that you can't leave the bed, you can tend a garden and actually feel like you have a purpose outside of like actively dying.
Yeah. That's not funny. Sorry.
It's okay. but I guess this could be considered creepy. It makes me think of Disney World. There are underground tunnels. Now they're flooded. But back in the day, they were operational. That provide passage between the buildings when the weather's bad.
Oh, I thought they were for dead bodies.
I mean, I guess they could have done that to dispose or get the bodies out of sight.
That's what I
if they're trying to keep a positive atmosphere. Yeah. But yeah, they have underground tunnels, which just makes me think about what cast members use at Walt Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, other than those tunnels, everything that they could do, all the transit and activities took place outdoors whenever the weather was okay enough for that to happen. So moving on, the hospital opened in the 30s. Now we're into the 40s. And doctors discovered that antibiotics proved much more successful in treating TB.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine living before antibiotics were a thing?
I would have died a long time ago.
I think we all would have. It's wild. Yeah. It's wild how just like bacteria could just kill you. Like you could just die.
It's wild to me that people then sometimes still live to be very old. How? How did you not have a UTI kill you or, you know, childbirth, hemorrhaging,
or
like
anything. Like think of how
whatever
many times
killed you on the Oregon Trail.
Like you've been prescribed antibiotics in your life. And to think that there was a time when there were none.
Honestly, like since college, probably 5 or 6 times.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's insane.
Wild.
But antibiotics came out in the 40s. That's fantastic. And they became more widely available in the 50s. And since people are getting better, the number of TB patients started to dwindle. So that's great. This place served its purpose in that regard. And now they have to figure out what they're going to do with this campus.
Mm-hmm.
In 1960, it was repurposed as a nursing home and a hospital for other patients that need it. So they didn't give it up quite yet. The facility was finally closed in 1982 due to high levels of asbestos in the buildings, as well as spiraling costs associated with structural upkeep. Now, that reminds me of Eastern State a little bit. Like, that seemed to be the story. Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but I felt like that was the story with that facility toward the end, too, is that it became so expensive to keep it updated.
Right.
Between, like, plumbing and you know, just things falling apart on an old building.
Yeah.
Eventually they had to ask themselves, like, is it going to be worth it?
Yeah. Like, to get this up to like proper standards, it's going to be millions of dollars.
Yeah. So, it's been sitting and rotting since then. The first to become operational way back in the day were the nurses' quarters and the children's building. In fact, the first patients were children, mostly from poor DC families. Mm. Paying cases were accepted, but only after those who were first in line were taken care of. It was a progressive mode of thought for the racially and economically segregated DC of the 30s, but one forced upon its residents by the danger of a spreading disease. Mm. Yeah. The hospital took in an initial 150 patients, more when Congress authorized funds to expand the children's ward. Adults, too, began to be admitted, and by 1936, there was a new building for them, the largest one on the compound. Quarantine and exposure to sunlight and fresh air, again, best methods before those antibiotics came around like a miracle. And you can see, looking at the design of both of the hospital wards at Glendale, that everybody was about the sun. Nearly every floor has an open breezeway or solarium. On the roof of the adult building were areas for sunbathing, also known as heliotherapy.
Can I live there? Sounds lovely.
Like, that's great.
Yeah.
I sure hope that the hospital provided some sunscreen, because that would be very unpleasant to have tuberculosis and also a sunburn.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
But they put a playground on the roof of the children's facility so that the kids, too, could get some sunlight. That's pretty nice. And UV lamps for cloudy days.
This place sounds great.
So far. One of the pamphlets said, "Children will glow and tingle with the soothing substitute for Mr. Sun."
Oh, for the UV lights. Ah.
Yeah. How cute is that?
Mr. Sun.
And you have the right idea. Generally, it's said that Glendale looked more like a country resort than a medical facility.
I mean, it sounds lovely.
Yeah, like they even had specific azaleas that were crafted for this place. Like they're hybrid flowers that were, yeah. Yeah. But now, if you want to see those flowers nowadays, they've been located to the National Arboretum in Washington, D.C.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
That is pretty cool that they saved the flowers.
Yeah. But it also played an important role in D.C.'s race relations struggle. Despite protests by the white staff, Bessie Crocker became the first African-American nurse to work at any D.C. municipal hospital in 1939.
Oh, my. Ugh. It's so disturbing when I hear dates about, like, race relations, and it's just like, that's so recent, really?
Yeah. Like, 1939, to put that in perspective, like, my dad's mom, my grandma, mm-hmm. was born in, like, 1920.
Yeah.
So, like, she was alive when that was happening.
That's two generations ago that segregation was that enforced. Oh, my God. Insane.
I know.
America, come on. Get your shit together.
Exactly. But I felt it was important to talk about all that stuff, too, because we're not just here for paranormal. Historical context is important.
It is.
But a decade or so later, the entire hospital was integrated. So it took until almost 1950. Yeah.
Okay.
Glendale continued as a TB-only facility through most of the 50s and blah, 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 antibiotics. We know all about that. So around the time the hospital closed, then Mayor Marion Barry, which everybody knows about Marion Barry, right?
I don't.
I believe that was the mayor DC had that got into some hot drug water.
Oh, hot drug water. That's the name of my ska band.
Oh, sweet. The only reason that I, which sounds bad, the only reason that what introduced me to the controversy of that situation was Good Charlotte wrote a lyric about it once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was talking about, did you know if you were caught and you were smoking crack, McDonald's wouldn't even want to take you back because you could always just run for mayor of D.C.?
Oh, is that what that's about?
Yeah.
I never knew and I'm what pretty that sure was that about.
I'm pretty sure I'm talking about the right person. But anyway, Mayor Barry tossed around some ideas, and one of them was to convert some of the buildings into a spa and wellness facility for city employees, which I think is a great idea since this place seemed like it was already kind of a resort. But nope. A hospital the Surgeon General had once called the most up-to-date and complete institution of its kind in the United States began to slip quietly into oblivion. It was even used for military and training exercises, with local residents bemoaning the explosions and gunshots that emanated from the area.
Oh, geez. When did that happen?
After it closed, when they were trying to figure out what to do with it for a while.
It's wild. I feel like, but it sounds like such a nice place. I feel like a lot of these places, it's like, especially with Eastern State, how it was just like everyone was forced to be alone and miserable and sad. This place sounds like pretty nice. Like for the circumstance of literally just dying of TB and there's nothing you can do about it, I would want to go there. It sounds lovely.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So are all the ghosts there, like happy ghosts? Like they're all positive, happy ghosts?
We're about to get to the ghost. Just catching you up to modern day. In 1994, D.C. sold the campus for $4.1 million to the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission, which still owns the grounds today. Later that year, the Maryland State Legislature passed a bill stipulating that any future use of the 61 acres occupied by those buildings is limited to a continuing care facility or retirement home. So they're not allowed to turn it into anything crazy. The children and adults hospitals must be rehabilitated, and the nurses' dorms must also be reused. What? The 15 or so buildings will eventually be demolished. The bill also stipulates that the remaining 150 acres of the complex should be used as a park.
Oh.
So that's what the paperwork says.
But that happened in 1994?
Yeah. And over the years, the commission has accepted bids on the property, but developers have largely stayed away. The legislation has been a double-edged sword, getting the campus onto the National Register of Historic Places, but creating restrictions that have helped create demolition by inaction. So I think because it's on the National Register of Historic Places, it's a bit harder to tear down now because it's been there for so long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But this is something that I knew from my friends that would go there to explore. Police do regularly patrol the grounds for trespassers, and ruins of Glendale Hospital continue to attract graffiti artists, ghost hunters, local teenagers, and other curious explorers.
Yep.
It similarly attracts urban legends, and most people say that it was once a prison or an insane asylum, neither of which are true. But I definitely heard that it was an insane asylum.
Is there another insane asylum in the area, or? Oh,
I think there might be. But from what I found, there's vague plans to convert the grounds back to a nursing home at some point in the future. But because of the asbestos remediation cost, along with all the restrictions coming with redeveloping the property, there hasn't been a successful bid. So it's still standing. 2021. Now, let's talk about what it looks like now. Oh. This is where we get creepy. The buildings are characterized by broken glass, peeling paint, corroded walls, and overgrown vines. Several of the buildings have collapsed roofs. Graffiti is everywhere, from swastikas to satanic pentagrams and other ominous messages like, "Please go back," "Who goes there?" and "Welcome to hell."
Creative. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Vandals have dragged an oven from the lower level kitchen into the children's morgue, an attempt to inspire fear into visitors.
Dumbasses.
Whatever, that could have been you. In a laundry house on the eastern end of the campus, there's remnants of police training drills, splotches of spent paintballs, and pallets emblazoned with military police insignias and Secret Service seals. So that's kind of cool, I guess.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. So as far as the places on this campus that people tend to go to the most, it's the children's hospital building and the adult hospital building. So actually the buildings where the patients would have been.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with their close distance to Glendale Road. So when you're driving, that's going to be the most accessible place for you to go up to.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And talked about the tunnels, just like Disney World. The basements of the hospital buildings are extremely dangerous and filthy. Large pieces of rusty sharp metal, cloth, and debris hang from the ceiling, and the buildings contain so much asbestos and lead paint. So you shouldn't go there because yeah, it's probably really haunted, but you also shouldn't go there because asbestos and maybe tetanus. It's not going to be a good time.
Yeah, don't go there.
The basements are also infested with rats and bats.
Rats and bats. That's and the name of my punk band.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm inspiring you today. But parts of the walkways are flooded with nearly 3 feet of water. So you could probably get electrocuted. You really shouldn't go.
Don't go there.
Now, this is the part that gets really sad before we dive into hauntings.
Okay.
When the hospital closed in 1981, many of the patients were turned out onto the street.
Oh.
With no relations and no money, they would return to the abandoned building because that's the only place they knew.
That is really sad. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
What? How do you close a hospital? And you're just like, these patients, they'll figure it out.
Well, and especially because it seems like they were catering to the poor. For the most
and,
part.
Like old, right? It was like a nursing home.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yep.
Yeah, old people with no money. That's so fucked up. Oh my God.
Yep. So what we're talking about is real life human horror.
Yeah.
But now hauntings.
Ghosts.
The fun stuff. Ghosts. One of the hauntings I found involves a police officer who was checking the area out alone.
Oh, yeah, not a good idea.
No. Why would you do that?
Bring your partner. Bring your dog.
Yeah. Where's your canine? Come on.
Where's your canine?
Someone across the street heard gunshots and backup was brought in. They found the officer standing, frozen, staring straight ahead, unable to speak. He had shot off all of his rounds at something that was never found.
Oh, it's creepy.
Yeah.
Did he ever say what it was?
Not that I know of. He just paralyzed with fear.
Oh my God.
Unexplained. The morgue is supposedly a hot spot for paranormal activity. What a surprise, where all the dead people were. It's located deep inside the main adult hospital building. People have reported hearing strange noises and seeing the ghost of the patients that died there.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, meh, I don't believe it.
I believe it. I totally believe it. It's just,
okay.
Okay. That's what I was saying, like, that this hospital is weird, because it's like, for the most part, it seems like it was so nice for the tuberculosis patients.
It was, and then it was left to fall apart.
And when you hear about ghosts and hauntings, it's like usually because there's so much bad energy in one place, you know?
Oh, I mean, there's still more hauntings, and one of them you're about to get excited about.
Oh, no.
So the haunting seemed to take place in the two structures close to the road on the right. Mm-hmm. which I believe are the children's and adult buildings. Most doors and windows have been broken out, and abandoned medical equipment is scattered everywhere within the buildings. Sightings have included a large pack of ghost dogs.
What? Where? Yeah,
ghost puppies.
Oh my God. That's the only kind of ghost that I'm okay with seeing. Like, I'll be cool with that. Was he a ghost dog? Oh, Casper.
Because yeah, no, you already have four dogs, but you Zero. Could have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Zero from Zero. Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, ghost dogs, they don't take up any space. They don't pee and poop in your house. It's like all the joy of having a dog
no
without
vet
like,
bills.
The pain. No vet bills. Oh, my God. I need ghost dogs.
She's got a new life goal.
Literally. I need to go, like, see a medium and be like, can you get me a ghost dog? Please.
We'll work on that.
Okay.
We'll find you one.
Oh, I'll be so happy.
More sightings include ghostly patients wandering around the second floor and smoke coming from the crematorium. So I'm starting to believe that maybe there were bodies going inside that thing.
So the crematorium and the morgue are different places?
Well, yeah, the crematorium is a place where you burn stuff.
So that's where the incinerator is that you were saying that they didn't burn bodies in.
I'm imagining, yeah.
But then they did, but I assume they did burn bodies in the morgue. Or no, I guess they buried them.
Well, maybe the crematorium is separate from the incinerator.
Hmm.
I don't know. But people have also complained of noises such as banging and yelling coming from the hospital walls. Screams, laughter. Sometimes there's an odor of burning flesh and smoke coming from the crematorium. In one particular room, there's said to be sightings of a man in a straitjacket who went insane after watching his family be murdered by an intruder to his home while he hid in a closet.
Oh, that's sad.
He was so overcome with guilt that he didn't help his family, that he went insane and eventually killed himself when he broke into the room where they kept the medication and overdosed.
Oh, that's sad. That's a sad story. Yeah.
And that's where I'm ending it. Glendale.
Don't go
beautiful
there.
Beautiful and sad. Don't
People
go there. It's
stop.
Dangerous.
It's dangerous. There's asbestos. There's lead.
Oh, trust me. That I love taking pictures of like abandoned buildings.
Yeah.
I really do with my photography stuff. But like I won't even go there because asbestos. So don't
fuck with asbestos.
Don't do it. And you could possibly get arrested for going there. So that's an especially don't do it.
Yeah.
But if you're curious about it, check our show notes. And in the description, you can see our research links. We'll post some photos on the Insta.
I just want a pack of ghost dogs in my life.
Like, are you going to be choosy about, like, the size of your ghost dogs? Or it doesn't matter because they're ghosts?
I love all dogs. Every dog.
Yeah. Oh, you wouldn't even have to buy dog food.
Amazing.
Another reason we love it.
I really do.
Cool. I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm ready to throw you a cryptid.
Fuck me up.
Yeah, boy. Okay. Tell me about the sexy romantic wolf of Jesse's butthole.
Oh, I love this. Who put Jesse's butthole on there?
Me.
Obviously, I didn't.
It was asking for a place, and technically that's a place.
It's a place.
It's a place where your poop lives. That's a
Okay. The sexy romantic wolf? The wolf of my butthole.
Yes.
How do you make wolves sexy? It's Taylor Lautner was a sexy wolf.
Oh?
You remember that?
A sexy wolf? Oh, what, Twilight?
Yeah.
Oh, vaguely? Is Taylor Lautner like a part of your lore?
That's just the only thing
is
I can think
of. Is he hiding in your butt?
That's the only sexy wolf I can think of. Like,
well,
how
maybe
else
you should
I make a
be
wolf
be imaginative
sexy?
About it.
I can't stop thinking about Taylor Lautner.
love to see you spin this into something fun. Wolf. Go for it.
Oh, what about... No, Wolverine is not a wolf. He's a Wolverine. It doesn't count. It's a different animal. This is really hard. I don't...
Did I actually stump you for once?
I'm... How is there a wolf in my butthole?
Hello, and welcome to Boozed Podcast, where we get supernatural and shit-faced. I'm your host, Camille Monet, and I invite you to join me and my guest every other Thursday for spirited stories.
We look at each other and we go, did that just happen? And then her hand, she still had the sucker, it fell over, and then it stood back up, and then the gate closed.
Lush lore.
And as it turns out, Maria, in a former life, was an evil witch.
Oh. And intoxicating inquiries.
I mean, I know some hogs can be really freaking big.
They can.
They can be huge.
They're huge.
They'll eat you, so I mean...
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Pigs will eat you.
Pour a drink, warm up the Ouija board, and prepare to get 3 ghost sheets to the wind. You can summon a new episode every other Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, get boozed.
Okay, what if it's a ghost wolf? Can it be that? Can it be... Or is it just a small wolf? See, either it has to be a wolf that can somehow condense down to the size of where it would fit in my butt, or it has to be like amorphous and like be able to like turn into like a gas that goes up my butt. How do I get this wolf up my ass is my question.
If I had a nickel for every time you said that to me.
It doesn't technically need to go up my ass. It's just of the butthole. So but I also don't want a wolf to be, like, near my butthole.
What has our podcast evolved into?
Oh, I got it. All right. I just thought of it.
All right, okay. You evil genius. Fucking bring it.
I don't have an eloquent way to explain this, so I'm just going to do it. It's going to be, like, my superpower is that... My superpower is that I can use my butthole and turn myself inside out from the butthole. So it's like shape-shifting into a werewolf in the worst way. Like in the most disgusting way.
You mean like those stuffed animal things that had like
yes.
the pouch and you would...
It's like, you know those... grocery bags that you can like stuff into like a little pouch and then it like cinches.
Oh, Jesse.
See, that's my butthole and you open it and turn me inside out and I turn into a wolf on the inverse side.
I asked for this.
I hate the face you're making at me right now.
I asked for this. Yeah.
That's
Go ahead.
That's what happens. And then So say, all right, put me in a situation that, like, why would I need to turn into a sexy romantic wolf? Because that's not sexy at all. Or romantic. Okay. It's like my superpower is that, so if I'm in, like a fight, or okay, say, like someone's trying to murder me, I can, like, and, like, turn myself inside out. I turn into a wolf, and then but not only a wolf, it's like a Pepe Le Pew, like annoyingly like sexy wolf. And
yeah.
I just annoy the person to death, I guess.
Okay.
Is that
what would it be like if I encountered you?
I don't know. What does Pepe Le Pew sound like? What's his accent?
He's
like
French.
I can't do a French accent. Oh, oh, ho, ho, ho.
Baguette.
Oh, baguette.
Like that Flight of the Conchords song.
Wolf.
Yeah.
Je m'appelle Wolf. Fa-da-fa-fa. I'm a wolf.
That's what it's like.
That's what the sexy romantic wolf of my butthole is. That's what okay. it is. And it's facts. It's don't fuck with me or
see,
you'll get...
I thought
I am a wolf. Je m'appelle wolf.
Je m'appelle butt wolf.
Je m'appelle anus wolf.
I was thinking that you would have thrown this cryptid in a situation where, like, a pack of wolves are coming to attack you and you need, like, a distraction. Like, you need to, like, you know, get them to chill out.
Yeah,
so you,
like
seduce them.
A ghost wolf that will seduce them. It's like a familiar.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That could work, too. That's not where I went to. I went to invert myself from my butthole out. Was my first thought there.
You're creative, and that's what we love.
Thank you.
So yeah, listeners, thank you for joining us this week.
I have to tell my mom not to listen to this episode now, because
we're talking about your butthole.
My ass. As if I don't tell her enough about my butt. Also, my cousin just started listening to our podcast. I tell her story? She sent me this email. So, or an IM. Hi, Tina. Her name's Tina.
Hi, Tina.
So we were talking about that one story of that guy in Japan that, like, hit this woman was living in his house for, like, a long time. Remember? And he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? So she had a story. She was listening to that, and she was like, I have to tell you about this thing that happened. So she has a daughter. I don't know how old she was at the time. Maybe, like, 10-ish. Named Riley. And, like, Riley came out. Like, I think it was after dark. Like, Riley was in bed. And then Riley came out and was like, hey, Mom, I just saw a man, like, walk from the bedroom into the bathroom. And there was, like, no one else in the house. So Tina was like, that's weird, and, like, went and, like, looked at the house and, like, tucked her in and was like, she's just a kid. Maybe she's just, like, imagining shit. But then the next day, when no one was in the house, like, Riley was at school, Tina was at work, Tina got, like, a notification on her phone of, like, a motion detected in her house.
No. Really?
Yeah. Isn't that scary?
I don't like that at all.
It's like, and I think she called the cops, and, like, they went to her house and they didn't see anything, but I don't think they went inside, and she was freaked out, and she, like, had her boyfriend come over, and she was like, I don't want to go home alone.
Yeah, I can tell you pretty much anytime I'm watching a horror movie that deals with a haunted house or anything like that, or any kind of disturbance, 5 minutes in, I'm like, I would have been gone. I would just abandon the place. I would pack one bag full of shit and send movers to get the rest of it. Like, I'm done. So I admire people that stay.
Yeah, I mean, she said, like, she had her boyfriend, like, check the attic and put a lock on the outside of the crawl space hatch.
New house. So. You need a new house. Mm-mm-mm-mm.
She said the cops didn't see anything and, like, nothing. Obviously, she's still alive. Oh, Riley was 5 or 6 at the time. So, yeah. So when her kid was like, I just saw a man.
Is she still living there?
No. She got a new house a couple years ago.
Good. Good.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, she still lived there for a while. It's like she moved out immediately.
Wow.
Well, she's not dead, so.
Good. We don't need our listeners dying of paranormal things.
Maybe
we're not trying to curse
you. She's a
ghost. No.
My cousin's a ghost.
No.
How sick would that be? We could have, like, a movie.
Like an actual ghost host?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be rad.
But no, I'm glad that we get listener feedback. That's very cool.
It is pretty cool.
And for folks that haven't, if you listen to us on Apple Podcast, Pretty Please with Sugar on Top, etc., rate and review us, because it means a lot, nice. And we would love it.
Yeah, it helps. There's, like, an algorithm that we don't understand. And if you give us more ratings, then we actually like pop up more, and that would be really nice.
Yeah. And other than that, if you're not following us on Instagram and Facebook, I don't know what you're doing with your life right now. You should get on that.
Yeah.
Also, Twitter if you want. Mostly Instagram. Instagram's the important thing.
Yeah, the only things we post on Twitter is our Instagram posts. So.
Is what?
The only thing that's on our Twitter is our Instagram posts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, just follow the Instagram and make it easy. And send us fan mail, because as we tell you every week, we love that shit. So
we really do.
Email us, paranerdspodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Check out our sister podcast at podmoth.network.
Yes. We love
rad.
Our sister pods.
They're
and
rad.
It's fun to be on a network just to say we're on a network, but the really fun thing for us is that we actually do really dig the shows that other people are putting out.
Yeah, and they're really cool people. We like talking to them, too, so go check them out.
Yeah. So while you're in the podcast mood, hop over there. And from us to you, we will see you next week.
Spook you later.
What?
I'm trying a new sign-off. Did it work?
Paranerds has been brought to you by Podmoth.